Thank you again, Brother Rob, Brother Clint, for sharing such significant things with us. May God advance His glory and keep our brethren, use them for His name's sake. Very gripping. I also want to just express love and thanks to you saints for praying for us with my dad's situation. The plan now is tomorrow for him to have a procedure that would then allow us to transfer him to rehab and help him. So we've been being with him around the clock. Of course, he's at the hospital. So we've been 24/7, one of us, Krista, myself, my brother, or my sister. And now my brother-in-law is with my dad right now. So thank you for your love and prayers. And he can picture many of you because he got to come that one time. And it means a lot to him. He's at peace through this. And he's very coherent, very communicative. And we can talk and share. And God is gracious in all that. I'm so, so grateful. So at the end of this time, I'll be slipping out. It'll be my shift next. So I think he knows his son is preaching and then coming back. So turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'd like for us to again look at one of these small events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always say there is nothing small in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he did, everything that he is grand, majestic. But it's another one of these events in the text of the Gospels that we would have a tendency just to read right through. This, I think, will be the third time I've done this this calendar year. God willing, I may do one more before the end of the year. Jesus with little children. In God's providence, 2 weeks in a row, no children's time. We get the ultimate children's time today. The Son of God with children. You talk about wow. This is recorded, this story of Jesus, these parents bringing children to him. This is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in Matthew 19, it's in Luke 18, but I chose the Mark 10 version of this. It's a little bit more expanded on slightly, and I think it's the one I want to let the Holy Spirit take us to and through. Here we will see parents bringing their children to Jesus. Why? What does Jesus do? What can we learn from this? What can we, anybody that hears this, sees this, what can we learn from this? Mark chapter 10, verse 13. This is God's glorious word. May he give it fresh to us. Let me read these verses through verse 16, and then I'll pray. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And Jesus took them up in his arms, and he's put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Father, great King of heaven and earth, Lord of the nations, Lord of the events in our text right here, ruling and reigning Lord Jesus, then and today, you're the King of all. And we worship you. Teach us now from your word. Let us see more of your heart, more of who you are with us, with children. Lord, teach us now. Wash us in the truth. Lord, draw our hearts, our faith upward to love you with all that we are. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose that this sermon is the longest one that's been stirring in me in a unique way. It was probably birthed in the summer of 2018 on a summer night in June, 4.5 years ago. A few of you have heard me reference this moment, so bear with me for a few minutes, because truly I think that night is when this very text began to just stir me emotionally. Krista and I were in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and we were at the Passion Play. Some of you may have been there before. It's there set, it's an outdoor setting. It's in the Ozarks, and it's got this beautiful kind of cone of vision there where you see this live performance, live animals. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. They've been doing it for decades. And it's the performance or this portrayal of Jesus' last days before the crucifixion. It's worth seeing if you've never seen it. And as it's flowing along, I've seen it one other time in the late 90s. Actually, we saw it. And it's the story is progressing, and you kind of know what's coming, right? You're familiar with the Gospels. And so I'm tracking along with it, Krista and I are, and it's quite moving once again. But then this moment came, a small moment that shouldn't have been quite that emotional for me, but it was the scene of Jerusalem, of Jesus there sitting or being in the little kind of open square area, and all of a sudden they had children from little bitty toddlers up till maybe 10 or 12. They just came and ran to Jesus. And he just took them in his arms. He just had them. No inhibition. Absolutely. This magnificent moment in the play or in the story. And I turned to Krista with tears in my eyes. I said, I wasn't ready for that. Because it gave me a glimpse into the majesty and the love of Jesus Christ for little bitty ones. Wow. Why would I be so moved at that? Should we be moved at that? I'd like to say yes, you should be. We should be moved because it portrayed the Son of God. Yes, Jeff, the commander of the army of Joshua, the pre-incarnate Son of God. Here he is in the flesh, the Son of God, tenderly loving children. What a scene. It ought to stir us. No fanfare. No social barriers, no religious pomp, simply the Lord Jesus Christ letting children come to him for his blessing. Absolutely magnificent. And it's in three of the Gospels. We have a tendency to read right through it, ponder it, and move on. Even commentators who write on these chapters will oftentimes have this much compared to other things going on in this chapter. And I'm not picking on any commentator. I love those different men through the ages. But it gets passed over quickly. And it's a magnificent, truly, scene for us. Have you read this story lately? Have you stopped to consider what's happening here? Both in what Jesus did with them and what he's teaching all of us. That's where I'm going. For you parents, I'm a parent, 6 grown children. For you parents, does this make you want to bring your children to Jesus Christ? Well, you can. You should. Not just when they're little. Not when they're just this size. But when they're this size, and when they're this size, and when they're this size. Continuing to bring our children to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's profound if you run this out. The realities. Coming to him. I want us to see it, beloved, with a fresh all. My hope is that we will all learn more about our great Savior through his acts or his loving of these children and what he said and what he taught. And so I want us to learn from it by considering this story or this event in 4 questions. So it's 4 points, but I really want to give it to us in 4 questions. Why did these parents bring children to Jesus? Second, what was Jesus' response to them? Third, how did Jesus bless these children? And fourth, by doing this, what did Jesus tell his listeners? May God help. First, why did these parents bring their children to Jesus? Go back to verse 13, the first part. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Now, there's some consideration here as to, are they absolutely infants, or are they toddlers, or could they be even smaller children that still hold their parents' hand and they bring him to Jesus. No reason to get caught up in too much detail there. They brought little bitty children to Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the text says here, and it says in the other two Gospels. They're bringing little ones, just like some of you parents bring your children down to the front. Jonathan will come down with the boys or different ones. Stephen sometimes likes to come down. It's this bringing them to the master. Why? Why would these parents be doing this? Obviously, Jesus' reputation had been spreading. Clearly, we're into these Gospels. We're into the timeline of the Lord Jesus Christ, where his renown and his popularity or his fame was spreading all throughout the land, different places. He was known. So that's to be expected, right? The big crowds would come, but why would they come? Why do the big crowds come? They wanted to hear him. Probably even more so, they wanted him to work miracles. They needed healings, and they needed things that only God could do, and this man could do it. But that's not why the parents came. They're not coming for miracles, per se. I mean, we just have to pause and consider. They're bringing their little ones. These are not sick children. There's no implication in any of the Gospels that they're sick. They're well. He's not there to heal them, to deliver them from some affliction. That's not their motive. The scene is healthy children with their parents being brought to Jesus Christ. So it is unique in that sense, because these children, in one true way of putting it, they don't have these massive needs. They have the ultimate need of to be born of God, but they don't have sickness. They wanted something else from this great teacher, this master. It says in the text that they wanted Jesus Christ to touch them. Now just stay with this for a minute. To touch them. Why would they want Jesus Christ to touch them? Because what they had heard and what his reputation had already declared unto them, the miraculous things, God's with this man, they wanted God, the power of God, in whatever capacity that they could understand it, the people, they wanted him to touch or put his hands on their children. That making sense? I mean, it's what a parent would want. If you feel like he's got such great good to give, why wouldn't you want your little one or my grandchildren or whoever that you would have under your care, why wouldn't you want that good to be poured out on them? So therefore, there's not a stretch to think they knew that God was with this Savior or this Messiah, this Jesus Christ, and so they wanted their children under him. They wanted him just to touch them. Isn't that amazing? For him to lay his hands, whatever that meant, on them. Clearly, that's their motive. Dads, moms, perhaps other family members that had to bring the children if one of the parents had already passed, grandparents. They're bringing their little ones to Jesus for him to touch them. What does it portray to us? You know, think about this laying on of hands, this touching. Do you step back and think about other scenes in the scriptures? We have other scenes where Jesus would take a child into his lap, or that we see him touching. Just this theme of the Son of God, or this thing of laying on of hands. It's worth considering for a moment here, because there's multiple places in the scripture, even in Old Testament, but there's this picture of God's doing something. It's a sign, right? It's a sign. It's a sign of wanting a blessing, or it's God's nearness, God's presence. It's clearly a spiritual reality. It's not mystical. It's not some bizarre thing. It's this acknowledgement, Lord, come. And they want the Son of God to touch their children, their little ones. So the laying on of hands. Again, if you look in other places in the New Testament, Jesus is touching of others, touching the leper, touching the man that was blind, touching those who were afflicted in so many different ways. The touch, this presence, this nearness of God, his mercy. Jewish people would have known this truth. They would have known what this means. They would have had a reason to bring their children. I mean, candidly, nobody in our country, doesn't matter how popular the leaders are, nobody wants to take their children or grandchildren to a political leader and have them touch them. Right? It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Because there's no acknowledgement. They don't have anything spiritual, something that's divine from God. They don't have anything to offer like that. Nobody goes and takes children to the governor. I imagine. Maybe somebody does. I'm not interested in doing it. But you get the point. There's something extraordinary about this man, Jesus Christ. And so people wanted their children with him, under him, to be touched. It's a phenomenal truth when you think about it. It makes you wonder, what did the parents receive? What happened in their own minds and hearts as they watched Jesus deal with these children? Did it change them? Were they converted? Were they made new? What stories did they tell in the coming months and years? What did their children grow up and think about, and what were they told? Jesus Christ took you into his lap, touched you, prayed for you. So these parents were looking to Jesus for something relative to his touch, his great, great mercy. I kind of had this, and while I've been thinking on this very theme, I had some of this same reality come to my mind recently. Our granddaughter was sick with croup. Cool weather, change of weather, croup comes, seen it, done it. That's not a pleasant thing. When little ones get croup, you moms and dads know what I'm talking about. That was going to be long nights. So I went by to take supplies over to help, just to see, and there was the little one sitting in her mom's lap, just limp, laying up on mom. Y'all know the picture. You can see that. No real, no energy. And so I come in, and there they are, and I bring the things in. And so it's just instinctive. We're talking about the touch, this thing of touching somebody. What you're beseeching God for great mercy. And I just found myself as we talked, and she's just looking at me. She's laying her head there, and she's looking over at me. And I just walked across the room eventually. Nobody asked me to. And I just put my hand on her forehead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's giving us a picture here of what it means in this spiritual realm to put your hands, the laying on of hands. And so the theme in that moment, in the theme here, is that the Lord would come, that he would come. What an encouragement. Just, again, question number one, why would these parents bring their children to Jesus? Because he's the great one, and he can bestow and do for them what nobody else can. That's the reality, and they knew enough about this great one that they had to get to him. What an encouragement to you, dads and moms, parents, to bring your children to Jesus. In my case, to continue to bring my children or bring my grandchildren, both in word or maybe in reality, get them under or get them to Jesus Christ. You get the theme here. It's such an encouragement. It was in that day and it is today. I hope for you dads and moms, your conversations today and this week change because of this text. We have our ways of nurturing and training our children. May God give fresh faith to you. Bring them to him. Bring them to him. Parents, what is impossible for you to do in their lives, it is absolutely possible for Jesus Christ. The words that you try to say to your children, the things that you try to do that sometimes you feel like there's no way I can make this as effective as it needs to be. It's impossible. Jesus Christ can do it all. One touch, one word, one work of him, and he changes children from this to this, death to life. He sets them on a path. So there's a theme here in this text. And this thing of bringing our children, as I've already mentioned, it's not just for the little ones. Yes, it's precious to see the little ones and the ones in your arms and when they come to the front. But it's not just us with our little children. It's parents with their older children, the ones that are in need that you intercede for, that you call upon him, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be your focus, your hope. Numerous scenes in the New Testament, saints, parents that needed Christ to do great things for their children. Desperate situations, and you and I face things, and we constantly bring our children to him. Hold that theme. Second question, what was Jesus' response to them? Verse 14. It says, actually at the end of 13, that the disciples rebuked the parents, those who brought them. Jesus saw it and was much displeased. And I'll pick up. Before we go to what Jesus' response, he's already occupied with other things, right? But before we get to how he truly responds to the children, think about this. The disciples blew it. Now, it's not the only time, right? It sure puts it in perspective. They thought the master's too busy for things like this. Disciples just completely missed Jesus' heart in this. They actually rebuked the parents. Can you imagine this scene? These people have come. No telling how far they've come. They brought their little ones, moms that are holding little bitty ones, and they're there, and they're ready to see Jesus, and the disciples say, basically, get out of here. Don't bother the master. Jesus is busy. He's got other things to do. Whatever they said. They were absolutely had zero interest of getting those children to Jesus Christ. Amazing, really. Don't bother him. They didn't know his heart. They didn't know his heart. They didn't. Jesus is going to show gloriously his heart towards these children. He's going to show his heart towards little ones. He's going to show his heart towards all men in this ultimate teaching here about coming to him. But before we go further in it, just consider for a minute. If Jesus had not intercepted what was going on, those parents probably would have turned away and gone on. They can't get to him. In one sense, the disciples are the gatekeepers. The Syrophoenician woman couldn't get to him, per se. Eventually, she got to him. Others, but they, in their own way, and in that moment, they didn't want to bother Jesus. It's amazing. They didn't think he had time or the interest to deal with little ones. Wrong. He does have time. I've had a fresh inspiration of the song that we used to sing when I was a kid. Jesus loves the little children. Everybody in this room probably knows it. What? All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Next line, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Proof text right here. Go back to Matthew. Go to Luke. It's proof text. It's a fair song to sing. Don't get caught up in too much theology on it. Jesus loves children. Get them to him. That's the theme here. Hey, disciples, you're missing it. The master loves children. The master's going to bless the children. He's going to take them in his arms. He has time, beloved, and he has much interest in our children. They're gifts from him anyway. And it's beautiful to consider this with fresh faith that we constantly are bringing our children to him. And you that have the little ones, you feel this all the time. Where would you want them to be? I want them to be under Jesus Christ. I want them to be with him. They have no cognizance, many of them, that even what's going on. And Jesus says, bring them. I like what Matthew Henry said. It is considered a very kind and tender disposition to take notice of little children. Rest of his quote. And this was remarkably true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was kind and tender, and he had a heart. He had a perspective towards children that is truly magnificent. And that is his longing to have them come to him, to be with him. Thus, the moment in the summer of 2018, that began to overwhelm me. The Son of God, bring children to me. Bring them. In a society that has certain different views about how children's values are, or where do we take them, or what do we put them under, or can they hold up to this, can they do this, all kinds of questions. The Son of God says, bring them to me. Jesus says, bring them. Jesus is not bothered. He's not interrupted. It's not a distraction for him. When you pray over them, when you labor for them, when you go in at night and they're hurting or needy and you're praying, Lord, when you're presenting them when they're born to him, it's faith, it's trusting, it's asking him to bless. So the Lord Jesus Christ was not only kind and tender, he was all towards children with a full heart. He was not distracted, and it was not an inconvenience for him. He was ready. In fact, the text, some of the translate, says he was indignant. Isn't that right? The NASB and the ESV say he was indignant. The holiness of Jesus Christ is still fully intact, and he's indignant. He cannot believe that the disciples would stop something like this. Boy, those guys got shut down, didn't they? Don't keep the children back from me. Don't hold them back. That's what he's saying. Nobody should hold them back. One of the joys we have, saints, with our open meetings and your children being here, we want them in on all the means of grace. We want them to hear the songs of God. We want to hear them hear the preaching and teaching and the prayers of God. Who knows what happened in your prayers a little while ago? Somebody here, or more than one, may go to the mission field and live and die for the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, he wants them here. He wants them with him. He's here. This is his church. Children, today, hear me today. Jesus Christ says to you, come on to him. Come to him. He receives you with his whole heart. It's magnificent. What was Jesus' response? Don't hold him back. Bring him to me. Like I said, we're seeing more aspects, more of the magnificence of Jesus Christ just in this text. Don't hold him back. He makes that marvelous statement, which you'll hear quoted a lot. Let the children come unto me. Don't forbid them, for such or to such is the kingdom of God. It's open to them. It's a sign. They're little ones. Bring them. We're little ones desperately need. Come. That's what he's teaching here. Come to him. But particularly little children, let them come to me. He's ready to bless them. He's ready to do what only the Son of God can do for them. The disciples didn't do anything for them. Jesus Christ, in all of his compassion and love and heart, he was ready to bless them. Oh, that statement, let the little children come to me. You talk about overflowing with reality. Let the little children. You dads, you moms, but you know, grandparents, you just love when the little ones do come to you. I was sitting yesterday at the hospital on the bed with my dad. We got him up in a chair, and he was able to sit for a while. It was great. And then comes in one of my, daughters and her husband and a bunch of the grandkids. And things get lively in a hospital room. My daughter had sent me a note. Dad, is there any limit on how many? No, just come on. So Dad had some activity. But during that, what are we talking about? Let them come. Let them come. I'm sitting on the bed. He's sitting there and there's grandchildren. What happens in the flow of that? The next thing I know, I have a grandchild in my lap looking at her great-grandpa. Because she knows me, she knows him, but not like she knows me. So she comes and she can come, let them come. And she's sitting in my lap and she's listening to me talk and my dad and all of us talk. It's so deeply relational. You see here, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the little children come to me. He loved them. He was ready to bless them. This truth, as I said, is overflowing. Don't hold them back. Let these children know me. Let them know my voice. Let them hear me. Let them receive from me. Let my blessing be upon them. It's just loaded with what he's saying. Let the little children come to me. That is, give them full access. If your children want to sit at certain events that they're hearing dad and mom talk or read or talk theology or prayer time or what, let the children be there. Let's just run this out. You realize in much of Christendom, the children are set off somewhere else. That's not in my notes. I'm not going to chase that right now. In much of Christendom in our country, children are sent off somewhere else to do something else. And they'd say, yeah, but we're teaching them about Jesus Christ. Maybe we could talk about that. How, why, when? What do they learn of worship? What do they learn of prayers? What do they learn of weeping before God in worship? You get my point? The point is, get them as close to Jesus Christ, where he is, what he does, who he is, as you possibly can. You hear what I'm saying? That's a takeaway here. Let them come to him. Let them come to him. They want to start reading great books? Let them read them. They want to ask great questions? Let them ask. They want to chase after the things that would grow them, meaning when I say chase, run after things that would build them up? Let them. Jesus wants them to know him. He will reveal himself. He will receive them. He's ready to bless. Third, how did Jesus bless them? How did he bless them? Not only did he say, let the little children come unto me, but he blessed them. How did he do this? Look back at verse 16. I'm going to hold verse 15 until the end. Verse 16, Jesus took them up in his arms and he put his hands upon them and he blessed them. What a Savior. What a beautiful, tender moment. Like when I said when we opened, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, letting children come and sit with him. Depending on even some of the other translations, you'll hear it talked about is that he was one by one. He took time one by one He didn't just grab them as one big bundle, but he took time. He had them, he took them into his arms. He can only hold maybe one or two siblings, maybe, but the point is, he took time now, one-to-one, to minister his great blessing to these children. How did he bless them? He held them. He held them. That's the first part of it. He took them into his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. What a scene that must have been. What would you have felt as a parent, as a grandparent, to see this? What were the disciples now learning about their master? What do we learn about our master? This, the tenderness of his care for his people, for little ones, ones that need him, for us, ultimately for us that need him. This translates to us. We're needy. We need the tenderness of our Savior. We need his everlasting arms. We need him drawing us in. As we would say, we need to sit with Jesus and let him love on us and teach us and wash us. Jesus exceeded the desires of the parents. He exceeded it. They just wanted him to touch him, to touch them. I'm sorry. They just wanted the Lord Jesus to touch. But he's going further here. The level of his love and his effort or his blessings towards them is bigger than they had even thought. It was grander. He took them up in his arms. Some of the writings that I did find that would elaborate on this text, but here you probably have children, Jesus sitting, and they're now coming, and they're handing children to him. And he's taking them one by one, probably holding them. Now, this is speculation, but it's probably pretty accurate. He would hold them, and he probably would put his hand on their head as he would bless them, which was very likely praying for them. What he said or what he beseeched his Father and God's mercy on these little ones, holding and touching and calling out God's blessing on these little ones. You talk about a great compassion and desire for these little ones, these children. So yes, he exceeded their expectations. He'll exceed our expectations. And that we want the love of God poured out on our children. We want the love of God in their youth. Right, parents? You want them to be turned. We want them to be touched by the Master. You want them to be set apart. He took them up. He loved them. He touched them. And he blessed them. Just extraordinary, the reality, the depth of what we're seeing here. Bringing them and holding them, and then one by one. Makes you wonder, did he know their names? Did he have to ask their names? He would have known their names, probably, right? He knows all. But he, at an individual level, the Son of God, he's an individual Savior of mankind, right? He saves us in ourselves, who we are. He's merciful with us and all of our limitations and all of our frailties. We're like little children. And he takes us into his arms. What a Savior. What a King. And he would take them, he would bless them, he'd pray, and he would hand them to the parents, hand them back one by one. Just incredible. How long did this go on? 20 minutes, 2 hours, 4 hours? Who knows? It was quite a scene. Everybody watching must have been amazed. I'm amazed. Are you guys amazed? It's just incredible. When you think about what is happening in the redemptive ministry and life of Jesus Christ within humanity, teaching us something. He uses this very moment to teach a massive theological point to his listeners about children coming to him. So what did Jesus do in this blessing? He touched, he prayed, he held, he loved them in his tenderness as the Savior of the world. So he used this moment. Now he has a captured audience. Whoever the parents were, whoever the listeners were besides the disciples, we have no sense of the number of people there, but he uses the moment to teach a great truth about his kingdom, people coming into his kingdom. Look back now at verse 15. It says, after he said, let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. This is for us. This is for us. This is for our fellow man. Jesus is telling us that like little children, people must come to him like this. Little, helpless, totally dependent, nothing to offer. These little ones here, what are they going to bring to Jesus? If we take them to Jesus Christ, what do they have to offer him? You see the picture? It's a magnificent picture. Little, helpless, dependent children. That's what we are. That's what everybody is. That's what every political leader, every big shot in the world today is helpless, totally in need. They need to come to him. And Jesus is saying this to his listeners. He's making a gospel call with children. Why he's blessing them, he's got this teaching going on. If you don't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, if you don't receive me, if you don't receive my offer for salvation in the kingdom that's for everlasting, you won't enter therein. This is not taken by military force. You don't get to the kingdom through some other way. You don't get there through your own accomplishments. You can just stay with this. You can run this out. It's the call to all men to come to Jesus Christ as a child, as a little one, a totally dependent one. Oh, dear saints, that's true. That is the gospel call to men. Turn from yourself and come. No holding back. Come to him. No pride, no questioning, no conditions. Just come to him. Children are not inhibited by things, right? Children don't overthink things. Little ones are so little, they're just brought to him. But little ones that are told things, they don't come with pride. Men want to evaluate Jesus Christ from afar. They're not going to take him at his offer. You know what I'm saying by that? Men have questions. They want to get all these questions answered before they're going to come to Jesus Christ. Men put conditions. Well, if he'll do this or if he does this. And Jesus says, unless you become as a little child, none of those things, and come to me, you're not going to enter the kingdom. You're not going to have the kingdom. Phenomenal truth here. Men throughout our land, throughout the world, need to hear this. You do not come with pride, and you do not come with your big questions, and you don't come with your conditions. You simply fall before him. You fall before Jesus Christ, and you say, you're all. You're everything. Just like that little child, if I take my newest grandchild and hand it, that grandchild is being handed. There's just no barrier. Jesus is saying this to men that hear him, and he's saying it to our generation, and he's saying it to us in our hearts. We continue to come as a little child. We're constantly under him. I appreciated this story by William Hendrickson that a shopkeeper, children, listen to this. There was a shopkeeper, and the shopkeeper decided to put gold coins, a stack of gold coins, on the windowsill. And out there on the windowsill, people would walk by, and there was a note that said, take one. Stack of gold coins. People would come by all day. Nobody took a coin. I mean, this guy's up to, you know, they're thinking this guy's up to some sort of a fake. This really, you know, he's not going to fool me. This is not true. Stack of coins and a sign, take one. This is, in a sense, Hendrickson is marvelously uses his story. This is the world. Jesus Christ gives the offer, the call to him, come and have life, come and have forgiveness, come and have life. So the day is ending and the gold coins are still stacked. Nobody's taking them. And then a little child comes by and stops and reads the sign. What do you think the kid did? I mean, it's take one. Took it with no hesitancy, totally calm, totally confident that it was a legitimate offer, that it was true. The child took the coin. Because the child was not using all the other barriers, the other ways of, I'm not going to come. I'm going to hold back. The child was brought, or in this case, the child was seeing what was being offered, and the child said yes. Does that preach to you? It's a great picture. People around us daily, I mean, it's what Jesus is saying to him. Unless you become as a little child, I'm receiving children. He's ministering magnificent truths and blessings to these children. And he's telling grown-ups, come to me like they're coming to me or like they've been brought to me. Unless you do that, you won't enter the kingdom. You can't have the kingdom. There is no, I got my part and I'll get his part. He's everything. The parents had no blessing to offer like that. Jesus did. Men have no other salvation to obtain. Jesus gives it. He is the atoning one that gives forgiveness and life forever. We must be as little children. That's the depth of what Jesus is teaching here. Receiving the kingdom of God as a little child. Let me say a few more points on this. Totally dependent, like children are. We are totally saints today, right now, in this room, all of us. We're totally dependent on Jesus Christ for his love and mercy. Aren't we? Constantly. Breath by breath. We're constantly in need of Jesus Christ, just like a child is with their parents. Constantly need for Jesus' wisdom and care for us. Constantly. Nonstop. He leads me. He carries me. He guides me. We're constantly, like little children that are so helpless, needing his protection and his provision. Constantly. Around the clock. We're constantly, there's magnificent pictures and realities in this scene. Little children, the blessing of Jesus Christ, us as adults needing to be free in our hearts to love him. You see why the scene is so extraordinary? Why would parents bring Jesus, children to Jesus Christ for his blessing? What was Jesus' response? Bring them to me. I'll bless them. I'll do what only I can do. What was the essence of his blessing? He touched, he held him, he ministered in his own way as the Son of God to each of them. But what did he teach us? We must be as children. Somebody in this room today, maybe somebody listening, you're holding back. You don't believe. You're not going to believe what Jesus has to offer. You won't come to him. You must come to him. He's saying, come. The great, glorious King of heaven and earth says, come. He's ready to receive. He's ready to show mercy. He's ready to give you life. He's ready to take you in his arms. To not only touch you, but to have you, to make you his child, to make you his vessel today and forever. Oh, saints, there's so much here. May it affect you as a parent and a grandparent. May it affect you in your own heart in how you view and come to Jesus Christ. Saints, Jesus loves children. I'm talking present tense. He loved them in his pre-incarnate state. And he came as the Son of God and grew up as a man. And he loved children and ministered to him. And he tells us to be like children. He is ready to receive children. Those who are humble. Those who come with an open heart, meaning just totally surrendered. I am thine. Lord, have mercy. Saints, come to him. Yes, bring your children to him. But see the great realities of what he's saying. His invitation is open. It's constantly, come. Somebody here, like I said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day. Come and be in his arms, a great Savior. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this magnificent scene. Lord Jesus, your love, your care, your touch, Lord, your blessing in your arms. Lord, that's so extraordinary to even contemplate. You holding, blessing, being so tender with these children. Lord, thank you that when we think about our children, our grandchildren, we can have the same hope. We want to bring them to you. Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. May we come as little children. May we surrender and let you have us, our hearts. We want your touch upon us. We want your blessing. We want to be held by you. So teach us more of that, Lord. We surrender to you. We don't want to be conditional. We want to be free to sit in the Master's lap, to be with you. Draw us now. Blessed be your name. Amen.